present the message this morning, I told him, no, I wasn't ready. Because I have to give the message over at the One Eye Church on the 17th of this month. And so I've been preparing my message. But Monday morning, I woke up and I called Pastor Bushnell. I said, have you found somebody to fill in for this Sabbath's message? He said, no. I said, I'll do it. And my message this morning is entitled, Actions Speak Louder Than Words. Before we begin to get into God's Word, I'd like to share a story, if I could, with the young people. When I say young people, I'm talking about the teenagers, those that are in the early 20s or even early 30s. You know, when I was 7 years old, my mom was a member of the Waihewa Catholic Church. And she had decided that she would join and be a member here at the Waihewa Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so my sister Patsy, the oldest, my sister Marianne and I attended Waihewa Mission School. And you know, back then, one of my favorite teachers was Miss Miyashiro. That's our dear sister here, Patty Eastland. And you know, after a few years, I attended Hawaiian Mission Academy. And at Hawaiian Mission Academy, I took up, during my freshman and sophomore year, the course in printing, or better known as graphic arts. And from that experience and knowledge that I gained, I was able to work my junior and senior year at the HMA print shop. And you know, back then, I still remember tuition was about $30 a month. And to live in a dormitory costs about $50. That's for your dormitory and all your food, you know, your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so it's $80 a month. I think my dad was making like $400 a month. And remember now, I had another sister, Marianne, attending HMA also. She also stayed in the dormitory. What I'm saying to you is that Christian education is very, very expensive. But you know something? It's an investment. It's an investment, like not like a car or a house. It's an investment in a person's life, to help them to get into the kingdom of God. So I promote Christian education. I'm not saying it's possible for everyone. All I'm saying is that it's a way that you can... You know, when I was young, I used to sell encyclopedias. I used to go door to door, knocking on doors and selling encyclopedias. And I used to tell the homeowners and the family, the only thing that you can do is give your child an opportunity. And it's up to them to make a choice as to what they want to do. Now, after graduating from Hawaiian Mission Academy, well, before that, the manager for the printing press at HMA knew the manager at the college press in Walla Walla College. And because of that relationship, you know, I had a job waiting for me at Walla Walla College as a pressman. And I worked at Walla Walla College for 4 years in that press shop. And you know what? It almost paid for most of my education at Walla Walla College. You know why? The job there on the campus at the printing press as a pressman was one of the highest paid jobs on campus. They paid almost the same as the union wages. What I'm saying is that I was very fortunate. You know, I minored in graphic arts and I majored in business administration, got a degree. During my senior year, just about maybe 6 months before graduating, my professor in graphic arts approached me and asked me on several occasions if I would accept a position as the business manager or the manager of a printing press or shop in Kansas. And you know, back then, I didn't know about Kansas. And so I went and asked a lot of the guys about Kansas, and they said, Bob, what? It's dusty, it's hot, and you know they have these tornadoes. And here I am. And you know, folks, I wanted to come back to Hawaii. But more than that, I wanted to get a job that will give me a wage that would provide me with a comfortable way of life. In other words, I wanted the things that the rest of the world had. The house, the car, the family, the wealth. I wanted the things of the world. You know, I married Auntie June here. In a couple years later, we no longer were attending church. You know, I thought we had a comfortable life. I started getting involved with my good friends at work, and we went golfing. And from golfing, I got involved in drinking and smoking. Got involved in staying out late at night, spending less and less time with my family. I thought I had a great life. So much so that I was willing to almost give up all that I had for the pleasures of this world. One night God spoke to me. Finally reached the bottom of the little pit. It's not a little one, it's a big one. It covered me up. And I cried out to God and he heard me. And he revealed to me the error of my ways. You know, in the Bible it talks about the fact that if our heart condemns us, if our heart condemns us, that God is great. In other words, what it's saying is that as long as you feel that prick, the little needling, the little poking and saying, Bob, what are you doing is wrong. And you need to go back. You need to go back and make things right. And if you do that, the Bible says is that if you have no condemnation, then what is happening is that now you have confidence in your God. So parents, I'm saying to you is that in Proverbs chapter 22, 6, it says that if you train up a child in the way he or she should go, that when he is old or when she is old, they will not depart from it. That's a promise. And so I promote Christian education. I promote also the fact that as much as possible, parents, stick with your family, your kids. Spend time with them. Enjoy them, because before long, they'll be leaving home. And they'll be away, just like Dennis Greer knows about, right? And other families, parents. And so young people, I just want to tell you this morning, is make Jesus Christ your partner. And make him your partner for life. I'd like to suggest to you that you place your hand in the hand of Jesus. Grasp onto it. And don't let go of it. You know, some people tell me it is that, you know, when you finally give yourself over to Jesus, is the time when your problem's going to start? Well, folks, my problem started when I let go of the hand of Jesus. And my problems started to go away when I made a commitment in 1986 to allow God to come back and be a part of my life. I am talking from experience. God allows us to go through certain experiences so that we can learn, we can know. And so young people, know that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. And with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, you have Jesus and you have the Father dwelling inside of you also. Because the Bible tells us is that the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Right? Amen. Okay, let's get into the study of God's Word. We just have a few minutes left, but we'll go ahead and study what God wants us to know this morning. So let us bow our heads for prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for being such a wonderful and a caring and loving God. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that I have this morning of presenting the message. And I pray that you take out of me any crazy, foolish ideas and thoughts. And let this word, Heavenly Father, be from you, through your Spirit, with your truth. For these things I ask it in all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Turn with me to the Bible, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. This morning I'm going to be reading from the New King James Translation. And in 1 John chapter 3, I'd like you folks to understand is that John is addressing Christians. Christians that have been members of the church for maybe 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Okay? And what he's saying is that if you are born of God, you are the children of God. And what he's really saying is that you ought to act like you are a child of God. In other words, what we're doing here this morning is not about baby food. It's about the meat. Okay? I'd like to read to you the prelude to John, 1 John. It says, God is light, God is love, and God is life. John is enjoying a delightful fellowship with that God of light, love, and life. And he desperately desires that his spiritual children enjoy the same fellowship. God is light. Therefore, to engage in fellowship with him, we must walk in light and not in darkness. As we walk in the light, we will regularly confess our sins, allowing the blood of Christ to continually cleanse us. There are two major roadblocks to hinder this walk, and that will be falling in love with the world and falling for the alluring lies of false teachers. God is love. Since we are his children, we must walk in love. In fact, John says that if we do not love, we do not know God. Love is more than just words. It is actions. Love is giving, not getting. Biblical love is unconditional in its nature. Christ's love fulfilled those qualities. And when that brand of love characterizes us, we will be free of self-condemnation and experience confidence before God. God is life. Those who fellowship with him must possess his quality of the spiritual life. Begins with spiritual birth, which occurs through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ infuses us with God's life, which is eternal life. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and let's begin our study. Beginning with verse 1, all the way through verse 9. It reads, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. John, what is John saying here? He's saying, whoever has been born of God has been born. Is that a passive or is that an active? Is it past? Is it present? Is it future? Has been born. Has come. It's past. It's a passive thing. Right? Has been born. And why is it possible that a person that's been born of God does not sin? Well, it says, for his seed remains in him. His seed. And then he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Is it clear? Clear as mud? Let's turn back for a little bit more clarification to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Just a few pages back, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Okay, there, say amen. Amen. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which abides and lives forever. So now the seed that we're talking about is not only from God, but it is incorruptible. And this seed is born again in us through who, where? The word of God. What is the word of God? Is this the word of God? That's the W, small letter, W, word of God. And what about the capital word, W, O-R-D? What is that supposed to be? Jesus, right? What is all of this about? All that you read about in this, isn't it about Jesus? And we're told in Scripture is that who helps us to understand Scripture? What? The Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. So we find then that God is saying is that when you're born of God, his seed remains in us, and that through his word, we will continue to grow, and his seed will remain in us for how long? Forever. Turn to me to Galatians now, chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians is right after the Corinthians, right? Galatians, chapter 3, and verse 16. If you dare, say amen, please. 16. Galatians 3 and verse 16. Read it with me. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. So John is teaching us is that if you are born again, and if Christ abides in you, and you abide in him, guess what, folks? You cannot sin. I didn't make it up. That's what God is saying in His Word. Those who have been born of God no longer desire to live a lifestyle of sin. And I know that's your desire. I know that's what is right in your heart, is that you don't want to live a lifestyle of sin. I know that. But does it mean that we will never sin? No. Because as human beings, somehow, we let go of the hand of God. And how do you get back? Amen. Amen. Grab on to the hand of God again. Grab on to the hand of God. You know, and when you do sin, it's not like as if you stepped on somebody's toe and said, oh, I'm sorry. It's deeper than that, folks. It's like when you hurt somebody so bad that you get on your knees and you confess your sins with tears running down your cheeks. And you say, Jesus, I am sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. Please, try to remember that John is saying that the one who has been born of God is not able to sin. It has nothing to do about you and I. It's about Jesus Christ, His seed. It's about the nature that God implants inside of us. Well, let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, going back, close to where Daniel is, just before that, Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. Let's read it together, please. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Do you believe what God is saying here? He's saying is that if I put my spirit within you and cause you, you will walk in my statutes and you will keep my commandments. Do you believe this? I hope so. Because it says that all things are possible to those who believe. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry going back and forth, but I think for clarification, we need to do this. Romans chapter 8. Begin with verse 9 through 11. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 9 through 11. And it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit was used by God the Father to raise Jesus from the dead. And He says, who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit. So God the Father, again, is involved in bringing us back to life, which is righteous, through Jesus Christ. Let's continue with our lesson. First John chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. First John chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. In other words, Cain was jealous. He was jealous to the point that he was angry, mad, to the point where he killed his own brother. So we find that jealousy and pride are very closely connected, don't we? In verse 13, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Because, folks, the world is going to see something in you that they don't like. They're going to be jealous. They're going to be angry. They're going to be hateful. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life. Because we love the brethren, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Continue on. 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how? How does the love of God abide in him? In other words, you have a fellow sister or brother that's hurting, and you have the resources, and you're not willing to share this with them. John is saying, hey, aren't you a Christian? Aren't you born of God? Then where's your love? In verse 18, it says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 25. And let's see what the test that we need to pass in order to accomplish this love relationship. Matthew 25 and verse 35. Matthew 25, verse 35. And we hear this is something that's been spoken by who? Jesus Christ himself. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. But what is John saying? John is saying is that if you are born again, if you are a child of God, folks, you're not going to even remember these things. You know why? It's because the fact is, Jesus Christ that lives inside of us is doing all these things. In closing, folks, It says in 1 John chapter 3, 20 and 22, as I mentioned before, if our heart condemns us, God is greater. You feel a little prodding, a little poking, you can't sleep. Have you ever asked God to forgive you for something that you did years ago, and somehow it's still there? Huh? It's still there. You can't get it out of your system. Maybe God is still poking you and telling you, hey, Bob, you need to go back and make things right. You need to go back to your sister and say, you know, I'm sorry for what I said 24 years ago. You need to go back and make things right with your wife or with your son or your daughter. If you feel that, God is great. And you know something? If you do not have any so-called condemnation coming from your heart, Scripture says, you are blessed. For now, you have made things right. And now you can be confident in God leading you when you grasp His hand. I'm thankful this morning for the message that we have through the Apostle John. It's deep, like I said. It's not milk for children, babies. It's meat for you and I as matured Christians to finally understand, yes, the only way that we can be really, truly righteous and doing God's will is when we have our hands in the hands of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. In order for you to hear, what must happen? Hello? Hello? You gotta have somebody speaking, right? And this thing that's individual or power that's speaking, who is this? Do you know this? I hope so. Because He's speaking to you and I. Do you believe? Believe in what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That we are born again through God's Word. And we are His children. Folks, we have a promise that we have an inheritance. We are heirs to the kingdom of God. What the world has to offer you is nothing. It's nothing. Yeah, go ahead and buy a house and all this. There's nothing wrong with that. Get a car. But put your investment into living souls. Your friends, your neighbors, your children, your cousins, people that you work with. You know, we're going to be having an opportunity to do this the first part of the year. We plan to put on an evangelistic meeting. And what we're going through now is part of the Holy Spirit's work in preparing us to pray for certain individuals, to pray for them, that God will touch their hearts through the Holy Spirit. You and I, we can't do nothing, but we can be used by God in sharing what God wants us to share. And then let the Holy Spirit do His work, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that brought you and I to this church. If it is your desire to grab onto the hand of God, not just for a moment, folks, throughout each new day. And to be constantly walking with Him, talking with Him, and letting Him lead you in your life. Just like Enoch walked with God, Abraham walked with God, Moses walked with God, Joseph walked with God. How about Brother Tony walking with God? Brother John walking with God? Sister Sheila walking with God? If that's your desire, would you please stand with me? Oh, dear, kind, loving Heavenly Father, we are your children. And we stand before you, Heavenly Father, with a commitment that we've made just with you. That each and every day we will allow your Spirit to help us to cling on to the hand of God. The hand of God the Father, Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And as one, they will lead and direct us into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In closing, let's turn our hymnals to hymn number 522. My hope is built on nothing less.